Krishna, 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 Krishna.
The following is a recording of a question and answer series, Pariprasnena Sevaya, Day 7, given by His Holiness R.P. Bhakti Raghav Swami Maharaj, recorded on April 1st, 2020 in Hebri, India.
Our seventh session of Pariprasnena Sevaya. We'll begin with a small invocation. Om Agyanat Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We have one or two short announcements to make. One is in relation to the importance of downloading two very important documents which have not actually been published by the BBT. In times as we are living now, where we are to a large extent confined to stay in our homes, there should be more ample time actually for reading. Srila Prabhupada explained that actually there are two ways in which one invests one's wealth or Lakshmi. One is in books. Books, even though we may not utilize immediately, they can remain for many years. And as soon as we open a book of value, a book in connection with Vedic knowledge, it brings immense benefit to those who read such literatures. So books are a very important investment. And the other investment, Srila Prabhupada explained, is to invest in land. So that's one additional reason why the Vedic culture gives so much of importance for people to on land, to be connected with land. And that means, of course, to be connected with produce from the land, food, fruit trees, forests, water, natural resources of nature, and also, of course, the cows. So the two documents I'm referring to, of course, one we are reading every day, as we will in a few minutes, speaking about Varnasrama, which is available on the Veda base under the section, compilation. And the other document is also on the Veda base, and that is under the title Gita Nagari, the essay written by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and published in the year 1956 in his Back to Godhead magazine. I highly recommend everyone to actually download these documents. It's important to have literatures in hard copy. Internet is not always available, and in times such as these, internet may not always be there for us. So I'd like to take a few minutes to read from a new section from speaking about Varnashrama. Title is, this is number 4, from Srimad Bhagavatam class given by Srila Prabhupada in London on the 25th of November, 1973. The title of this section, Get All Your Necessities from the Land. Get all your necessities from the land. And some of the highlights in this chapter, regulative principles to fulfill desires. Yes, Vedic culture is based on following rules and regulations, living a regulated lifestyle that will help us. When we live a regulated lifestyle, this will help us more easily to fulfill all of our different necessities. Secondly, it is the duty of human society to keep the cow happy. I was thinking about this morning, looking at our cows, especially those who are living in a community as we are here in SSKBK. Our primary concern, our primary meditation should be in connection with proper deity worship and especially proper care of cows. As we will read in a few seconds here, when we have land, we can produce food. That is also meant to be one of the primary activities. People in villages, farmers, they produce food. And keeping cows is very directly connected with the production of food as well. Let's hear what Srila Prabhupada has to say. Before Prabhupada speaks, just a few other things in terms of themes in this chapter. Cow killing, the most sinful activity. Another one, Krishna personally teaches how to protect cows. Another, the land can supply all our necessities of life. And finally, work according to your capacity. These are some of the themes here. So Pradyumna, Prabhupada disciple, was reading this following verse, very important verse, from the first canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 10, text number 4. Kamam bhavasa parjanya sarva kama dugamahi si shi chu sma prajanagava payaso dasvatir muda. Translation. During the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, the clouds showered all the water that people needed, and the earth produced all the necessities of man in profusion. Due to its fatty milk bag and cheerful attitude, the cow used to moisten the grazing ground with milk. Then Prabhupada speaks, Kamam Dharmartha Kama Moksha, Dharma Artha Kama Moksha. In the human society, to make everything very regulated, the prescription is Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Dharma means to be situated in one's position. That is called Dharma. Dharma is not a kind of faith. Faith is sometimes blind. That is not dharma. Just like we say, Varnashrama dharma. Chatur varnam maya sristam, Bhagavad Gita 4.13. Varna, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. This combination of 8 makes dharma, constitutional position. So we see here actually, constitutional position on the spiritual level, eternal servants, of Krishna, and constitutional position on the material level. Exactly what Prabhupada is telling here. This combination of eight makes dharma, constitutional position. Everyone is animal. It means if we don't follow that, we are animal. So if one is not trained up in these eight principles of human society, so that is not dharma, it is sentiment. But that does not stand very long. It will vanquish. But if dharma is accepted on the principles of this varnashrama dharma, that is for material purpose, that is not for spiritual purpose. Although there is a hint of spiritual life, still they are prakrita. So dharma artha kama moksha, Srimad Bhagavatam 4.8.41 and Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila 1, text 9.0. Dharma means to stay in one's constitutional position. That is dharma. Artha means keeping oneself in one's constitutional position to get livelihood, artha. Without artha, livelihood, kama, the sense gratification, or fulfilling the need of life, that is kama. Just like devotees, they have also got kama. We are trying to become devotees. That is also one kind of kama. But this is spiritual kama. It is not material. Narottam Das Thakur has described kama Krishna kamar pane. So like this, Srila Prabhupada elaborates further in this section. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We will now take some of the questions sent by devotees. We did receive a few additional questions today. Thank you very much. So this is question number 19, actually. This is from Chris, one of our devotees here, at Sayadri Sri Krishnavalam Kshetra in South India. Actually, he sent this a few days back, and then today he sent another question, which will come up a little bit later on. This question here, interesting question. What language do they speak in the spiritual world? What language do people speak in the spiritual world? We understand actually from the Brahma Samhita that the living entities in the spiritual world who are all liberated, who are Jivan Mukta. There are Baddha Jeev and Mukta Jeev. Baddha Jeev, we are all Baddha Jeev in the material world. Mukta Jeev, those who are liberated, actually in the spiritual world, it is explained that every word is a song. So people don't speak, they sing. Everything is very melodious. Everything is very sweet. And the language that they speak is the language of love. We will understand what that means when we go back to the spiritual world or when we completely become disconnected with the modes of material nature. Of course, we know here how in the material world the language of Sanskrit is the most refined language. It is described as Devanagari. Devanagari, the language of the demigods. Krishna spoke Sanskrit when speaking to Arjuna. Bhagavad Gita is in Sanskrit. Vedic literatures are in Sanskrit. In the spiritual world, those who are residing there, they communicate, they can utilize all kinds of language, and they can also take on all kinds of forms as well. So for our understanding, Sanskrit is the closest language that we can when one begins to actually study and deepen one's understanding of Sanskrit, one can appreciate how very scientific is this language. So therefore, in the spiritual world, sometimes communication, actually it's all about exchanging of relationship, exchanging of sentiments and emotions, sometimes even without the use of words. We will fully understand, we can only fully understand the language in the spiritual world when we will go back to the spiritual world. Meantime, just like Srila Prabhupada, another language, actually many of the languages in India especially, which are derived from Sanskrit, are also very important languages. Just like we know Srila Prabhupada had mentioned in reference to his spiritual master, saying that actually the day will come when people in this world will study Bengali language to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are written in Sanskrit, in Bengali language. So Bhagavad Gita is in Sanskrit, Srimad Bhagavatam in Sanskrit, Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengali language. So hopefully this gives a little clue about the mode of communication in the spiritual world. We'll go to the next question, which is coming from one devotee by the name of Akinchana Krishna Prabhu, who's in Dubai. Dear Maharaj, as it can be seen from current situation, the need for a more localized and land-based lifestyle. Many devotees may know this or may know that this is the only solution. However, may not be able to implement this due to various reasons. Could you kindly advise on a few guidelines for devotees considering to take this step and make this transition? Guidelines relating to what all might be required or what all should one plan for. For example, certain amount of savings may be required, some land, children's education, etc. Maybe more of a handbook of guidelines for devotees planning to transition, as many, including myself, worry about the uncertainties surrounding leaving city congregations for a village-based setting. Very appropriate question, especially in our present global crisis situation that we are finding ourselves in. Salaries of people working in the cities is being reduced by large percentage. People are losing their jobs. Srila Prabhupada warned about this many, many years ago, indicating that actually this whole industrialized civilization, etc., is putting us in jeopardy, in danger, being unstable, unreliable. So the question here, and devotees have been discussing this point for a number of years. Some devotees have taken measures in that respect. There are various articles and PowerPoints that have been made over the years to give various information to devotees how to make this kind of transition. First of all, we should know that one of the long-term objectives of the Krishna Consciousness Movement is to bring people back to this more natural lifestyle, what we call agrarian lifestyle. We've mentioned on a number of occasions that, yes, actually one time I remember, sometime last year, writing a whole, we could say, step-by-step procedure, how, for example, a group of 10 families or 10 devotees can come together, discuss this very point about relocating in the village, in a village setting, and plan in such a way that at least two families initially, one family is not sufficient, two families should be ready to, should prepare themselves to relocate, while other families within that group, naturally this will take place only after such devotees have discussed and developed a very sound relationship of trust. And so two families can relocate with knowing that there are eight families who are still in the city and who can help me out, with the idea that others gradually can be making this transition. We have yet to develop, unfortunately, within our ISKCON society, such kind of strategy. And unfortunately, many devotees don't believe that it is needed or necessary. I am a strong believer in the fact that this is necessary. This whole kind of global crisis that we were seeing is giving us, should be giving us, some very clear insights regarding this. And if we simply hear on a regular basis, which most of us are not sufficiently doing, if we sufficiently hear Srila Prabhupada's purports and the very text, just like the one we read a little earlier, Sarva Kama Dugamahi, all of one's necessities come from the land. Our necessities for clothing, our necessities for eating, our necessities for construction, shelter, and our necessities for medicine. And that is why in our ministry we have, since about 2 years now, been promoting what we call traditional technologies. So, devotees need to come together. We are again and again reminding devotees, inviting devotees, urging devotees, pleading to devotees to actually discuss these points, which are mentioned directly in Srila Prabhupada's books. And in this way, that is the beginning step for devotees to come together and start planning in a very realistic way. A number of devotees have already done this. There are families who are presently, since a number of years, living in a village or living in the country, and they have taken gradually these steps by discussing and by planning. There are many issues involved, of course, land, locating land. Of course, in a place like India, where there are many families who have ancestral property at times, or as we mentioned the other day as well, establishing contact or preaching in some villages, convincing people who are in charge of such villages, how this is very much desirable that we have people in that village take up this kind of more natural lifestyle in terms of following the prescribed methods of simply learning to be satisfied with our basic necessities. Most of us have become, accustomed and also, I would say, attached to a kind of a standard of living which for many of us is not at all essential. We are living a standard of life which is far superior than what is actually needed. So there's, of course, many things to be said in that respect. I would encourage any devotee who is seriously considering this kind of change or move to be in contact with a number of our devotees, for example, within the ministry, or to visit, for example, this is something also very important that Prabhupada also stressed. One can visit some of these communities, whether it's here in India or in other countries, where there are devotees who are living, who have been living for many years, who are convinced. I have mentioned on a number of occasions about my being connected with a community in Western Canada called Sharanagati, Sharanagati Village. Not everyone in the village or who's living there is necessarily, although maybe living there, involved in this whole aspect. There are many factors involved. Many devotees sometimes being elderly, they cannot be active in working the land or producing their food. So there are many different situations, but I know for a fact, because I'm in contact with them, working very closely with them, there's a core group of devotees, and there are such core group of devotees in practically, I'm sure, every community who are very fixed on this whole recommended lifestyle of depending on the land, depending on the natural resources of the land, and who are doing physical work in terms of every spring. Now we are beginning month of April. Springtime is upon us, and there are so many preparations even before spring. People who are connected with the land, they start growing seeds indoors, for example. So many, by coming in contact and by visiting such places, one can learn how this is possible. And because we're talking about communities here, a village is a community of devotees, therefore one needs to connect with like-minded devotees and needs to work in that direction. Again, and I'll just close on this point here, reading on a regular basis are speaking about varnasrama and having regular classes. And that's one of the reasons we are also, I mentioned yesterday, for those who might have missed it, but we're hoping that within 2 weeks, we will have a virtual global Varnashram college in operation. I already have very positive, favorable responses from over 20 devotees, all of whom are very qualified in various fields of knowledge. And just today, I set up a group. We have 4 webmasters, 2 of them here in India, 1 in Canada, 1 in Indonesia, who might be stuck in Japan right now, but who have been active in maintaining some of the websites that we have for our ministry and other websites as well. Visiting these websites, getting information, and visiting physically these places is most important, and taking some of the courses that we will be offering very soon is also an important way to prepare individuals to make this kind of transition. Not that everyone, I'll just close by reminding everyone something that is clearly there in Srila Prabhupada's writing. Our primary area of preaching, and this is how Srila Prabhupada started, by going to New York City. Our preaching basis is meant to be in the cities. Of course, we can preach, and we should preach everywhere. But our living basis should be in the country. I've mentioned this a number of times, preaching basis in the cities, in the urban areas, where there's a lot of population, where there's a lot of misdirected, misinformed population. And our living basis, so that we can raise our children in a more sattvic atmosphere, where they can be in contact with the land, where they can be in contact with cows, and with these basic principles that we hear about constantly in the Bhagavatam, will be very helpful. Next question, which is coming from a devotee in India, from Karnataka, Bangalore actually, Guru Varanga. This is question number 21. A grihastha from city willing to move to farm community. If family situation is not favorable, what are the practical guidelines to be followed to make a smooth move? Things in the question, it is not specifying in a general way. If somehow family situation is not favorable, that may indicate maybe one's parents or relatives, or it may be one's immediate family members. So this is part of the preparation that is needed. We are contemplating, if we are understanding how important this is, then we should prepare gradually, help other members understand by having them hear some of these very selective lectures where Srila Prabhupada, you know, there's a whole series of lectures that have been put together by one devotee, a disciple of Bhakti Bikash Maharaj. His name is Madhava. Madhava Prabhu has put together all of the lectures of Srila Prabhupada that deal with the topic of Varnashrama. Very nice. I believe that he calls it Varnashrama Nectar, something like that. So we have those, I believe, on our website. If not, you can write. Again, anyone having further questions or would like to contact our ministry, you can just write to secretariat at iskonvarnashrama, in one word, .com. And we will try to provide you with such information. There are ways in which gradually we can try to at least, of course, one's wife and children, they need to be properly prepared. Therefore, the need, you know, in any family situation, for any devotee, what is most important for making a strong family healthy in Krishna consciousness is that every individual in the family should be strong in their sadhana, should associate on a regular basis with devotees, should be in this way cultivating Krishna consciousness, understanding how these instructions given by Srila Prabhupada, this lifestyle recommended by our acharyas, recommended in the Vedic literatures that we read about when we, on a regular basis, hear from Shastra, is what will facilitate our practice and advancement in Krishna consciousness. So some practical ways, maybe to bring some of these family members, as we mentioned a little earlier in connection with the previous question, bring some of these family members to a community where devotees are living in a farm community. And in this way, this was one important instruction Prabhupada had given, that we need to demonstrate to our own devotees and people in general how this kind of lifestyle is very much desirable. Making devotee friends as a couple, meeting other couples, who are convinced of this philosophy, of this lifestyle, and who can therefore be supportive in different ways. Most of our devotees living in the cities naturally associate with other devotees who have this, we could say, urban or city mindset. Therefore, it's important to associate with those who have experience, practical experience of this more desirable lifestyle that is described in our Vedic literatures. We will go to the next question. This is from Kuwait, Rishi Kumar. As a son, I love my parents very much. So as I received this gift of Krishna consciousness, I thought as a son, it's my best duty to give the same to my parents and sister. My mother and sister do 16 rounds and father does 5 rounds, but still eating onion and garlic, and father is still addicted to tea. So many times I become insensitive and angry. What should I do in this case? I am currently not residing with my parents due to my job in Kuwait. We have to be sensitive to the situation of not only family members, but everyone. This is a common phenomenon that takes place when someone becomes a devotee, when someone, as we say, sees the light, understands, and then becomes convinced and takes up seriously the practice of Krishna consciousness by chanting 16 rounds and by giving up all of these practices that were followed before in terms of drinking tea or coffee, etc. like that. So we have to understand that everyone is an individual. Not everyone can immediately give up everything as possibly we have. And therefore, those who are especially newly coming to Krishna consciousness, it's a common phenomenon, once again, that they want to convert everyone to immediately, within 24 or 48 hours, to follow what they're following. Excuse me. It doesn't work like that. So therefore, we have to be patient. We have to be encouraging and supporting. I mean, these are minor, relatively minor problems that family members are not so strict in following, not eating onion or garlic or drinking tea. And they may never give it up. Still, they can be encouraged, they should be encouraged to chant. As you mentioned, they are chanting. And the more they continue this chanting, the more they hear, then gradually this purification will take place. And again, when it's possible for family members to associate with devotees who are fully committed, who are following strictly these different principles, then this can also be very helpful to members of one's family. Even though we belong to the same family, I mean, ultimately, you know, we all belong to the same human family, human race. Of course, we have taken birth in different countries, and we identify with that country, with that nation, and then we've taken birth within a particular family. We identify with that family. But we should know that actually each and every one of us, due to the law of karma, we are coming together, just like it is nicely described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how, this exactly the same way, how during the rainy season, especially when rivers get very high and all kinds of debris and pieces of wood are floating in the river, and sometimes pieces of wood come together, they'll stick together for a short time, then they'll separate again, never to meet again. This is how we're all coming together in this world due to our previous activities, the laws of karma. So it means that although we may be born in the same family, we all have a very different history. We all have a very different karma, especially in Kali Yuga. Very often, traditionally, when people were following the Vedic culture, when people were, for many generations, also following the different samskaras, then there was more, we could say, unity. People within a family, for example, a Brahmana family or a Kshatriya family, whatever, they were generally having the natural inclinations and tendencies and qualities of people who are in that particular varna. This is not so in modern day society, where we have all over the world a situation of varna sankara. Even here in India, although India, known as the land of dharma, still the influence, very negative influence of Kali Yuga is very strong here as well. Who are those families in India who can say, who can actually establish that my parents and their parents and their parents, going back seven generations, have all followed the different samskaras? Therefore, kalo shudra sambhava. In Kali Yuga, everyone is born without qualification because of not having followed the different samskaras. Everything is very mixed. Although once again in India, there's a lot of piety due to previous, activities. So therefore, we should be sensitive, understanding how fortunate we have become in having taken this kind of decision. But as devotees, we should not become angry towards others who may not be able to follow as strictly. We should be trying to understand their situation, be supportive to them, and encourage them as much as possible in so many different ways. So I hope this will be helpful. And actually, there is a last question here, which is the second question that was sent by Chris. The first one being, what language do they speak in the spiritual world? So this was the last question I received today, actually. My question is that sometimes we listen to some bhajan or Hare Krishna tune and that sticks in our head. Then later while chanting, that tune or bhajan comes in our mouth and thus we are not able to chant. Maharaj, what should we do in this kind of situation? Well, it's wonderful if some bhajan comes to your mouth or some tune in relation to Hare Krishna, because for most people or for most devotees, this doesn't happen. So you're fortunate that this is coming automatically. However, if it is becoming an obstacle for chanting the holy name, you take a few minutes and chant that bhajan, which is also a form of glorification to the Lord. And possibly after some time, you can again try to chant